Chapter 7. Wei Ying spends most of the day on the couch, or otherwise semi-horizontal, though he does put in a heroic effort to break down the chute and pull the footage off the cameras before dinner. Lan Zhan takes one look at the way he gingerly settles himself down onto the cushions, and makes the immediate executive decision to do the ginger salmon and lemongrass rice for dinner tomorrow, and switches gears to make soup from their frozen wontons, one pot vegetarian for him, and one with pork for Wei Ying. Managing a whole plate while reclined is much more complicated than managing a bowl, and they eat curled together on the couch, watching the great flower fight now that they're out of repair shop.
"Have I told you lately how much I like you?"
Wei Ying mumbles into his neck later, when they're smushed together in the flannel sandwich of their bedding.
"'Cause you're just really, really great, and I like you so much."
Lan Zhan breathes through the sharp, stabbing, not pain of that, momentarily too overcome with affection to speak.
"I believe you have," he says, when he can get his voice to work. "I enjoy hearing it, though."
"Good," Wei Ying says, indistinctly. "Gonna keep saying it."
"I look forward to it," Lan Zhan says. "The feeling is mutual."
He kisses whatever part of Wei Ying is nearest, and gets the top of his head.
"Good,"
Wei Ying says, again, and promptly falls asleep. Lan Zhan kisses his head again, and tries to hold on to consciousness for a little bit longer, just to savor the moment, but it's a battle he loses in short order. It's warm, and the bed is soft, and he has Wei Ying in his arms. It's the most perfect way to be. Lan Zhan wakes up at his usual 5 a.m. to an empty bed, and squint frowns at the room as he peels off his sleep mask. It's not completely unknown for this to happen. Sometimes Wei Ying gets up to use the bathroom, and then slinks back between the covers to try and tempt Lan Zhan into lazing about. Today, though, the sheets on Wei Ying's side are suspiciously cold, and the bathroom door stands ajar. There's just enough time for a spike of panic to crawl up Lan Zhan's spine before he hears music through the closed bedroom door, which he can just barely recognize as one of the electronic femme pop groups that Wei Ying likes. Lan Zhan relaxes a little bit, enough to take the time to use the bathroom and put on pajamas, and then he slips out into the rest of the apartment to investigate. The first thing he notices is the smell, fruit and cinnamon and pastry, and his attention zeroes in on the pie still cooling on the counter. The second thing he notices is Wei Ying, curled up on one of their dining room chairs at the window, a cup of coffee in his hand. He's silhouetted against the dim light from outside, the sky barely edging away from deep blue at this hour in winter. There's a street light across the way that rims the edges of him in a weak, watery yellow. The living room, still mostly dark, with just the under cabinet lights on in the kitchen. He looks exhausted, slumped in on himself, and Lan Zhan looks at the pie again and does some mental math. Assuming Wei Ying hadn't bothered chilling the crust before baking it, it still represents at least an hour and a half of work. Maybe more. He frowns, harder.
"Wei Ying?"
Wei Ying turns toward him and raises the mug in salute.
"Morning, babe,"
he says, voice light. His face is pale, flour smudged near his hairline, and his eyes are a little bloodshot. He doesn't look ill or injured, just tired, and Lan Zhan's eyes go back to the pie.
"Wei Ying,"
he says, again, softer, crossing the room to gently pull him in against his stomach.
My love, what's wrong?
Wei-Ying groans into his robe, carefully setting the coffee mug on the dining room table before attempting to bodily burrow into Lan Zhan.
Nothing.
Lan Zhan tenses, and Wei-Ying clarifies.
Nothing real.
Lan Zhan says. He's familiar. He unbelts his robe and tugs it out from under Wei-Ying's face in order to wrap it around him, making a kind of tent with his boyfriend inside.
Tell me,
he says, gently petting Wei-Ying's head through the fabric. Wei-Ying says, smearing his face back and forth against Lan Zhan's nightgown.
Nightmare. Nothing even worse than normal.
It just hit me hard and I couldn't get back to sleep.
He squeezes Lan Zhan's butt affectionately and pulls back enough to peek up at him through the open V of the robe.
I figured I should do something useful rather than just staring at the ceiling and being sad about it, so we get to reap the benefits of my insomnia by eating pie for breakfast.
Lan Zhan is fairly certain that's not the whole answer, but he's also not going to complain about getting to eat a pie his girlfriend made, even if he made it while he should have been sleeping.
What kind of pie is it? He asks, instead.
He'll get to the bottom of Wei-Ying's weird mood later, after they've both eaten and Wei-Ying looks a little more settled.
Peach raspberry, Wei-Ying says, nuzzling back into Lan Zhan's belly.
Side note, we need to buy more smoothie fruit now.
Lan Zhan huffs a small laugh, and he can feel it when Wei-Ying smiles.
It's still somewhere around medium lava right now, but by the time you're done with your run, it should be edible.
I look forward to it, Lan Zhan says, petting Wei-Ying's head again. You should go back to bed, he says, in what he knows will probably be a futile effort. I'll wake you when I get back.
That's a good idea, Wei-Ying says, which is not agreeing to go back to sleep, but Lan Zhan decides to let that go for now, too.
Sometimes it takes Wei-Ying a while to work up to actually talking about whatever's bothering him, which Lan Zhan relates to immensely. He trusts Wei-Ying will tell him, though. So he releases him from the robe tent and leans down to kiss him gently, once, before he changes into running clothes. It's cold enough that Lan Zhan thinks, longingly, of his nearly finished hat as he takes the loop through the park, watching the frost-dusted grass glimmering in his peripheral vision as his legs eat up the ground. He's never actually run in a hat, and he wonders if it would be pleasantly warm or unpleasantly warm. His ears, at least, wouldn't turn into red-rimmed icicles, which seems worthy of experimentation. He arrives home, wincing at the temperature change as his inner ear starts immediately complaining about its inhumane treatment, and finds that Wei-Ying definitely has not gone back to bed. There are clean mixing bowls in the dish rack, and the coffee table has been pushed aside with both their yoga mats laid out on the rug.
I've gotten so much done, Wei-Ying says, laying flat on his back on the red ombre yoga mat that Lan Zhan bought him 2 weeks after he moved in. Is this how it feels to be you all the time?
Lan Zhan allows, taking a sip of water. Though I am usually better rested than you are currently.
I would rather start the day roasted by my boyfriend than start it being complimented by anyone else, Wei-Ying tells the ceiling.
He flops over and levers himself upright as Lan Zhan settles in next to him, managing to get through their yoga with a minimum of wincing. Lan Zhan makes a note to massage his thighs again today, and to rub arnica into the bruises on his knees. Weiying sometimes forgets his body exists when it's hidden under clothes, and Lanjian has accepted the solemn duty of reminding him about it, in both sexy and non-sexy contexts. After yoga, it's pie for breakfast, something Lanjian has come around to as an acceptable way to start the day, as long as the pie is accompanied by plain yogurt. The yogurt cuts the sweetness and brings enough protein into play that he's not starving by lunch. And also, it's the last day of his vacation, and Wei Ying made the pie, and Lanjian loves him.
"Table or couch?" he asks, pouring boiling water into the teapot for his morning oolong.
"Table's fine," Wei Ying says, topping off his coffee, his slice of pie already on his plate and twice as big as Lanjian's. "I have my pillow." He gives Lanjian a smirk that has him almost splattering yogurt onto the counter instead of his plate, the way he always reacts when Wei Ying breaks out the pillow. It's donut-shaped and very practical, and whenever they've had acrobatic enough sex that Wei Ying drags it out afterward, Lanjian goes emotionally messy with a combination of pride, sympathy, and remembered arousal. He has a thing about the pillow, and Wei Ying is absolutely merciless in reminding him of that. He says, instead of otherwise addressing anything about yesterday's activities or the pillow, and takes his seat. The pie is delicious, and he tells Wei Ying so, in order to see him blush and squirm about it. They don't otherwise talk much while they eat, and Lanjian surreptitiously examines Wei Ying for potential clues about whatever has him off balance. He looks better after yoga and food and probably 3 cups of coffee, but he's just thin. A little fragile around the edges. He's like the top layer of a frozen pond, throwing back the morning sunlight, but vulnerable to the slightest pressure. It reminds Lanjian, unpleasantly, of the way he looked in that bad time, the nearly homeless year of too many jobs and not enough food and sleep. He doesn't like it. He wants to fix it. But he knows Wei Ying doesn't respond well to pressure, so he eats his pie and practices patience. "So what's on your agenda for today?" Wei Ying asks, scraping up the last of the pie juices from his plate. "Other than grocery shopping? Oh, I used up the last of the cinnamon making this, so we should add that to the list." Lanjian gets out his phone and does that before answering, "I would like to finish my hat." He carefully does not add, "and your scarf." The scarf is a surprise. "Otherwise, my schedule is clear." He tangles their feet together under the table, his toes tucked behind Wei Ying's ankle. "It's the last day of my vacation. I only want to spend it with my girlfriend." "Lanjian," Wei Ying says, propping his cheek on his fist. "You're gonna spoil me." Wei Ying says this all the time, to the point that it's become an inside joke. But something flickers behind his eyes, something sad and a little bitter. Then he blinks, and it's gone, and Wei Ying is reaching for Lanjian's empty plate, saying, "I should review the videos from yesterday, but I had nothing else in my to-do list, so whatever you want to do is great."
"Wei Ying,"
Lanjian says, setting his hand over Wei Ying's on the table. He hesitates for a moment, wanting to ask exactly what's going on, but instead goes with,
"You made breakfast. I'll do the dishes."
Wei Ying opens his mouth, and Lanjian cuts him off with,
"This is non-negotiable."
Wei Ying closes his mouth, looks like he wants to argue, and deflates. Yeah, he allows. That's fair. Lan Zhan squeezes his hand and suits actions to words, while Wei Ying lets the rabbits out of their little enclosure and refills anything that needs refilling. They eventually regroup on the couch, Lan Zhan with his hat and Wei Ying with a sketchbook, settling in to the soundtrack of a different Fed-led synth-pop group. Lan Zhan makes it through the final decreases of his hat, weaves the ends in, and admires it in silence. Wei Ying doesn't seem to notice at all, eyes on his sketchbook and his pencil not moving. He looks a million miles away, that sad and bitter glimmer back in his eyes, and Lan Zhan decides that enough is enough. Wei Ying, he says, carefully moving all his knitting supplies to the coffee table. What is it? What's what? Wei Ying shoots back, not looking up from his sketchbook. Lan Zhan says nothing, but tips his head in fond exasperation, and eventually Wei Ying gives in to the pressure and glances at him. Fuck, he says, deflating at whatever he sees on Lan Zhan's face. I thought I was hiding it better than that. I watch you very closely at all times, Lan Zhan says, because I like looking at you. He sets a hand on Wei Ying's knee. And also because I care very much about your emotional well-being. How dare you, Wei Ying says without heat, setting his sketchbook aside in a resigned kind of way. He scooches closer, tipping his head onto Lan Zhan's shoulder, eyes somewhere past the window. Lan Zhan gets an arm around him, cradling Wei Ying into the shelter of his embrace, and waits for him to find the words. Did you know, Wei Ying starts, cheerfully, that in spite of all my efforts, I still have a piece of shit brain? And that currently it's decided that I'm a useless garbage fire, and you're only keeping me around out of pity? And that eventually you're going to get tired of taking care of me like everyone else has and kick me out? And that I'll totally deserve it because I'm greedy and selfish and take and take and take everything you give me without ever providing anything in return? He laughs, a shattered quality to the sound. It's super fun! 10 out of 10 would definitely recommend this malfunctioning pile of neurons to other people! Wei Ying, Lan Zhan says, trying and failing to keep the horror out of his voice. He stops there, the words tied up in his throat, bunching against each other in their attempts to get out like everyone rushing a train door at once. There are so very many things that are so very wrong in that statement that he can't figure out for the life of him which one to address first. Wei Ying, he tries again, and Wei Ying curls into him, letting his knees fall into Lan Zhan's lap, hands fisting in his robe. I know, he says. I know, I know. He sighs into the terry fabric, slumping even harder into Lan Zhan. It's not you, it's never you, you're so good. I think I just had a perfect fucking cocktail of things hit me today. Hmm? Lan Zhan pets his back, lets his other hand come up to cradle the back of Wei Ying's head, wanting to keep him close and safe, even from himself. Yeah, like, I had a little sub drop from yesterday, which normally wouldn't be a problem, but then I had another social worker nightmare and couldn't sleep, and then the combination of sub-drop and nightmare meant I felt super guilty about how well you took care of me. Then it's just... He makes a deeply frustrated sound. Fucking winter! You dislike winter? Lan Zhan asks, wondering how he'd missed this. He knows Wei Ying dislikes the cold, but the season... It's the darkness, Wei Ying admits, quietly. I have a little seasonal affective disorder, probably. He takes a deep breath and adds, in a light tone. And my parents died in the winter, and that time I got hypothermia, it was winter, and I got disowned in winter, so like, tons of fun memories. Lanjian wishes Wei Ying didn't feel the need to make light of his own trauma, but also accepts that mockery is one of the ways Wei Ying copes, so he lets that pass without comment.
I did not realize that you had difficulty this time of year, he says instead, carding his fingers through Wei Ying's hair.
Well, Wei Ying points out reasonably, wiggling around so he can lay on his back with his head in Lanjian's lap. You weren't living with me previously. Contrary to current circumstances, I am actually capable of acting normally for short periods of time. He nudges at Lanjian's hand until the petting starts again, and adds, Also, last year I was on Zoloft. Lanjian breathes carefully through his initial negative reaction to the thought of medication, because he realizes it is baseless and ableist and entwined with the self-hatred he's still working on unlearning. He doesn't judge Wei Ying for taking iron supplements to help his anemia, or judge Lan Huan for taking a daily antihistamine to help his dust allergy. A chemical imbalance in the brain is nothing to be ashamed of, he reminds himself firmly, and after 2 months of weekly therapy sessions, he's almost starting to believe it.
Did it help? He asks, because that's the important part.
If it made Wei Ying feel better, he will drag him to the doctor to get a new prescription this instant.
Overall, yeah, Wei Ying says, without a ton of enthusiasm. It was definitely better than unmedicated, for sure. What was it like? Do you think I should try? Lanjian doesn't ask, but can't help wondering.
Wei Ying makes a thoughtful sound, his nose scrunching up. Well, unfortunately, I have to report it didn't make me happy. It was like, it let me take a step back from my emotions, like they were under glass. I was still feeling them, but it was with enough distance that I could identify what was going on without being lost in it. He waves his hands, trying to illustrate an impossible idea. With that distance, I could stop myself from spiraling, because I'd catch it when it started and was chill enough to be like, no, this is silly, we're not going there, brain.
I can see how that would be helpful, Lanjian says, slightly awed at the idea of being able to put his feelings under a microscope and think about them, instead of drowning in them. There's another part to this story, though. You stopped?
Wei Ying nods, rubbing his head against Lanjian's fingers. I do okay these days when it's not the middle of winter, he says. I'm like a plant. I need sunlight to thrive. You should put me on the windowsill, sweetheart. Lanjian immediately adjusts his mental image of a future apartment or house for them to include a bay window with a window seat specifically for Wei Ying. I had to be careful about drinking because that'll fuck with an SSRI, Wei Ying admits. And honestly, it's not like I have the same drinking habits I did in college. But I like going out with Zheng Chong and having a few beers without worrying about where my limit is. It was awkward. I had to constantly be like, is 2 drinks gonna fuck me up? What's the proof of this? Is it a European beer? Does this place overpour their cocktails? It made a normal thing that I like to do with friends into this whole fraught experience, and maybe it's petty, but I didn't like that.
That is understandable, Lanjian says, imagining taking a medication that reacted badly with caffeine, and having to deliberate over every cup of tea. It would be exhausting. It also fucked with my sex drive, Wei Ying continues, grimacing.
Which isn't the hugest deal when you're single, except for how I was making porn and not being horny made the work part of sex work the most relevant word in that phrase, and also like, he blushes, rubbing the side of his nose to halfway hide his face, and blurts, I like getting off, like, a lot. It's an important part of my self-care, and orgasms are a natural antidepressant, and I just really like sex. I'm horny, as a person. Lanjian makes a pleased sound and tugs on Wei Ying's hair, just a bit suggestively, and Wei Ying gives him a fond look. Anyway, I wasn't nearly as depressed on Zoloft, but I also didn't feel like me, so I tapered off it starting last March, and then I got to deal with 2 fucking months of withdrawal symptoms. Lanjian is learning a lot about a topic he'd never really considered, and he finds himself fascinated. Yeah, weird shit, too. Like, first I was just a little moody, which is to be expected, and then my brain went into, like, slow motion. Wei Ying frowns, hands moving again in an attempt to explain something entirely internal. When I moved my head, it felt like the whole world was, like, buffering. You know how sometimes on a live stream or an online meeting or something, the internet lags and everyone freezes and then suddenly speeds up to get back to normal? Imagine that, but while you're actually trying to exist as a person in the real world. Lanjian must make a face, because Wei Ying looks up at him and nods emphatically. Yeah, exactly. And then when that stopped, and I thought I was going to be back to normal, my skin started freaking out and trying to crawl physically off my body. I can't even explain it, really. It was, like, itchy and prickly, and it wanted to twitch but couldn't. And nothing helped, not lotion or hot showers or ice packs or anything, because it was all up here. He taps his temple. That sounds unpleasant, Lanjian says, and means it. The skin on the back of his neck crawls just thinking about it. It wasn't a good time, Wei Ying agrees. Useful, but not worth it overall. I'd go back on if I got really bad, like right before I quit corporate bad, but I'd rather just feel my feelings. He looks up at Lanjian, face soft and mournful, and says, softly, which means sometimes I'm just gonna be sad for no reason, sweetie, and you're gonna worry. I'm sorry. No need for apologies, Lanjian says, letting the silky strands of Wei Ying's hair wrap around his fingers. Wei Ying goes quiet, turning his cheek into Lanjian's stomach. Lanjian plays with his hair meditatively and processes everything he's learned. It is good to know that there's nothing actually wrong. It's simultaneously frustrating, because if there was something wrong, he'd be able to fix it. You don't need me to change my behavior? He asks, because he can't help asking. Don't you fucking dare, Wei Ying says, cracking one eye open to peek up at him. This has been my best winter in living memory, probably, and it's because of you and, like... He waves a hand at their apartment. This and everything, which is why it's a real bummer to find out I'm not magically cured. He sighs, curling back into Lanjian's belly. I bet I'll be fine tomorrow, he says, a little muffled. Today's just a bad brain day. Lanjian cups his hand around the curve of Wei Ying's ear and brushes his thumb gently back and forth across the earlobe. If there is anything I can do, will you tell me? I mean, Wei Ying says, thoughtfully, if you wanted to manufacture a crisis that I had to fix, that's usually been really good for my self-image in the past. He rolls over onto his back and smiles up at Lanjian, a little sheepish, and adds, not always great for my actual health, but nothing like being needed to make you feel needed, you know? Lanjian says, and then, before he can overthink it, no one needed me before you. Wei Ying's eyes go very wide, the circles under them dark in contrast to the stark white. No, he says, reaching up to try and cover Lan Zhan's mouth.
No, Gaga, I'm a mess today. I genuinely won't be able to handle it if you get all sincere on me.
Lan Zhan catches his hands easily and kisses each wrist.
Color?
He asks. Because if Huiying really can't handle it, he will stop. But Huiying's face goes red and resigned. Green, he admits, in a tiny voice. And Lan Zhan kisses his wrists again, which gives him a chance to think.
I like taking care of you, he says, slowly, giving himself time to form the sentences before he speaks them. I like treating you kindly and gently, because it's what you deserve, but also because it pleases me to do so.
Lan Zhan drops one hand and lets his fingertips play lightly over Wei Ying's face, stroking under his jaw like he's petting a cat.
No one ever asked this from me, he says, very quietly now, admitting something out loud he's never wanted to look at head on. Because they didn't think I was capable of it.
He cups Wei Ying's face and looks down at him, trying to memorize his features all over again.
And then, Wei Ying.
Wei Ying blinks up at him, swallowing. He barely manages to keep the wetness at the corners of his eyes under control.
Oh, he says, when he can speak. Okay, I think I get it.
He smiles, watery but real, and in the next moment spoils the moment with a huge, jaw-cracking yawn. Lan Zhan gets to see the fillings in his molars. It's impressive.
You should sleep, he says firmly, dragging the jewel-toned throw blanket off the back of the couch and unfolding it over Wei Ying. I will wake you in a little while, he continues over Wei Ying's mumbled protests. We can go on a walk later, but rest for now.
Too good to me, Wei Ying grumbles,
already turning onto his side and tugging the blanket up around his ears. He snuggles a little closer, Lan Zhan's thigh his pillow, scrunching his lanky frame up to fit on the amount of couch available.
Wei Ying deserves goodness,
Lan Zhan tells him, stroking his back.
Sleep.
Lan Zhan continues to pet him, reading a library book on his phone, up until Wei Ying has gone limp and his breaths are soft and even. Then Lan Zhan carefully claims the red diagonal scarf from the table, where it had been sitting the whole time, bless Wei Ying's obliviousness, and sets to work. He knits steadily, pausing only to ferry Bichen up to the couch so she can curl up in the cradle of Wei Ying's arms, and then again a few minutes later when Sui Bian comes to beg at his feet for couch time as well, the black rabbit settling into the space behind Wei Ying's knees. He knits while the light outside goes from cloudy winter dimness to watery sunlight, the brightest it will get this time of year. He knits while the music plays through three full albums, love songs and breakup songs, and songs of friendship and hope. He knits while Wei Ying twitches in his sleep, dreaming, and drops a hand to pet the back of his neck occasionally when he seems distressed. He knits until he needs to start the decreases for the end of the scarf, and then he knits the decreases. And then he weaves in all the ends and trims them and admires his work. Lan Zhan very, very carefully extricates himself from under Wei Ying's head, tucking a throw pillow in his place as his girlfriend grumbles to himself. He changes into actual going outside clothes, warm leggings and the cream and gray sweater dress, and a pair of decadent opal stud earrings. He tries on his new hat proudly, stares at himself in the mirror for a few minutes, and immediately realizes that he hates beanies and has no idea what he was thinking knitting himself a beanie. That's disappointing, But knitting the hat was a learning experience, and perhaps he can alter it somehow to make it better suited to his style. Lanjun sets the hat aside, tabling that idea for now, but making a mental note to ask Ni Huaisong about it. He has something more important to focus on presently. Wei Ying. He steams the scarf until the stitches lie even. Eventually he's going to try wet blocking, but Lanjun is too impatient for that right now. Artfully folds it on the top of his dresser, and texts a picture of it to Ni Huaisong. To Ni Huaisong. Thank you for the pattern recommendations. I am pleased with how this came out.
I'm taking a break from brunch to tell you that's gorge!
Brunch is V important to me, Lanjun, so I hope you appreciate this. Thank you for sparing the time. Your approval is noted. The scarf is soft in his hands, the gradient flowing smoothly from color to color on the bias. Lanjun is proud of it. Proud that it's something he made. Something tailored to the preferences of the person he loves. He's still working on accepting that feeling, needing to prod at the unfamiliarity. But he knows it's a good feeling, and he likes it. It's after 10 in the morning, and Wei Ying has been napping for a couple of hours. So Lanjun kneels in front of the couch, settling the scarf in his lap, and strokes Wei Ying's sleep-slack face. My love, he says, gently, as Bichen decides that they should both be touching Wei Ying's face and shoves her nose under his chin. Mm, Wei Ying says, turning his face further into the pillow. You said I should sleep. And you have slept, Lanjun says reasonably, kissing his temple. If you continue to nap, it will throw your circadian rhythms into further disarray. Wei Ying opens one eye to squint at him blearily. You're real hot when you use big words, he says. It's unfair. I try to only use my powers for good, Lanjun says, kissing his nose. Come. I have a surprise for my girlfriend, and she has to be awake if she wants it. Wei Ying comes fully online all at once, as though Lanjun had flipped a switch. A surprise? He starts to shove himself upright, notices he's weighed down by rabbits, and carefully scooches into a sitting position. I'm awake, he says, gathering an offended Bichen into his arms and soothing her with scritches. Is it a sexy surprise? If I ask, you have to tell me, or it's entrapment. It is not intended as a sexy surprise, Lanjun says, thinking it over. Though, if you want it to be a sexy surprise, I cannot stop you from seeing it that way. He can see 17 further questions hiding in Wei Ying's eyes, and he holds out the scarf without further delay. For you. Every single question Wei Ying was about to ask disappears, leaving him wide-eyed and open-mouthed and completely silent. He looks between Lanjun's face and the scarf rapidly, several times, like he's trying to figure out if Lanjun is joking. And when Lanjun continues to offer the scarf in silence, he reaches out one hand very slowly to rest on the knitted fabric. You, he starts, swallowing, Bichen cradled to his heart with his other arm. You made me a scarf? Lanjun says, patiently holding the scarf in question still, while Wei Ying gingerly traces his fingers over it. Wow, Wei Ying says, blinking hard. Oh, wow, you made me a scarf. His hand twitches, like he wants to squish the diagonal garter stitch in his fist. When did you make me a scarf?
While you have been at work, Lanjun tells him, honestly. Or in your studio.
A pause, while he decides how honest he wants to be,
And then, I finished it earlier, while you were napping.
Weiying's eyes go from the scarf up to Lan Zhan's face again, eyebrows creasing into a frown.
Wait, he says, in slow realization.
Wait, it's been here the whole time, hasn't it?
Lan Zhan tries to keep his face neutral and must fail, because Weiying slaps at his shoulder.
Lan Zhan, you've been using my brain against me! How dare you!
The hand that did the slapping immediately drops back to the scarf, which Lan Zhan notes with satisfaction.
I do not use it against you, Lan Zhan says, placid. I used it to facilitate the surprise, which I thought would be a good one.
He stops there, or tries to, but he can't help himself from adding,
Is it a good surprise?
What?
Weiying half yells, snapping upright. Bichen held even closer in shock, like he's a waspy lady clutching her pearls.
Is it a good Lan Zhan?
Weiying flails, verbally, and manages to set Bichen down without dropping her. She hops off the couch, annoyed by the whole situation, which is fair.
Lan Zhan, he says, grabbing
both of Lan Zhan's hands and the scarf at the same time.
Holy fuck, Lan Zhan, this is the best surprise!
He leans forward to kiss Lan Zhan, awkward and sloppy and too hard in his haste.
I can't believe you made something for me,
he says, pressing their foreheads together, smiling so hard his face must hurt.
It's beautiful! Gimme, gimme!
He scrambles the scarf out of Lan Zhan's grasp and immediately shoves his face into the folded fabric. Ah, Lan Zhan says, fondly, trying not to sound too ridiculously in love.
You like it, then?
I love it!
Weiying says, muffled. He sits upright and wraps it around his neck haphazardly, then squishes one end between his hand and cheek, nuzzling it gleefully. His eyes are teary and glowing, and in spite of the lingering traces of exhaustion, Weiying is absolutely shining with happiness.
It's so soft, baby, he says, a little choked up. Oh my god, I love it! No one's ever made me anything before!
He untangles himself from the blanket, careful not to disturb Sui Bian, where she's still happily asleep in her little blanket nest, and climbs over the back of the couch. Lan Zhan follows him, amused, and finds Weiying preening in front of the mirrors in their bedroom. He's wearing the bunny pajamas he stole from Lan Zhan the day they started dating, and he's sleep-rumpled and absolutely ridiculous, and so adorable, Lan Zhan has to fight the urge to drag him onto their bed by the scarf. Weiying is too sore for that, he reminds himself firmly. They can fuck again when he's recovered.
This is so cool,
Weiying says, grinning wildly at his reflection in the mirror.
Tell me how you made it go diagonal like this?
Lan Zhan agrees with a smile. He walks up behind Weiying and, very unnecessarily, wraps his arms around him to hold out the end of the scarf in demonstration as he explains the way the pattern worked. Weiying listens with glittering eyes and a broad smile, his reflection in the mirror all joy-flushed and impressed.
That is so cool,
he says, again, breathlessly, when Lan Zhan is done.
Wow, babe, you're amazing! What can't you do?
Improvisational comedy,
Lan Zhan replies, deadpan, cradling Weiying closer when he bursts into laughter. He kisses him behind the ear, since the only trouble with the scarf is that it blocks off his access to Weiying's neck.
I'm glad you like it, he murmurs, rocking them gently side to side.
Nie Huaisong suggested the pattern.
Are you two teaming up to plot against me?
Weiying asks. pretending to be suspicious as he crosses his arms over Lan Zhan's and leans back into his chest.
We are teaming up to plot for you, Lan Zhan corrects him. Because we love you.
My friends are the worst, Wei Ying says, turning his face to hide it in Lan Zhan's neck. He goes silent, warm and happy in Lan Zhan's arms, and they stay like that for a little while. Thank you, he says, barely above a whisper. I really do like it. He peeks up at Lan Zhan shyly. I hope you like it too, because I'm gonna wear it everywhere.
Good, Lan Zhan says, in tones of deep satisfaction. He nuzzles his nose in between the scarf and Wei Ying's neck, and inhales vanilla and salt happily. We could start now, he suggests. If we leave soon, we can get to the hot pot place by the antique mall before the lunch rush.
Fuck yes, Wei Ying says, immediately, turning around in Lan Zhan's arms to drape against him, beaming. You're so smart, sweetie. You have such good ideas.
He kisses him, mouth hot. More tongue than expected for 10 in the morning, but definitely not anything Lan Zhan is going to complain about.
Let's go get hot pot, and then come back here and play video games and have sex.
What a lovely potential future afternoon Wei Ying has proposed. Are you not fucked out? Lan Zhan asks, because he genuinely doesn't want to pressure him.
I'm sore, Wei Ying says, cocking his head and smirking. But I'm perfectly capable of laying down and letting you ride me.
Lan Zhan's brain shorts out momentarily as he considers that in full, graphic detail. He says. Yes.
I could also suck your dick, Wei Ying offers cheerfully, grinning at Lan Zhan as his brain short-circuits again.
There are all kinds of options, he continues, breezily, that don't involve me being fucked on this particular day. The important thing is that you gave me a great present, and now I'm happy and horny. I'm horned pee. Try again, Lan Zhan says, the horror of that portmanteau cutting through the pore and playing in his head on loop.
I'm horny, Wei Ying says, which is marginally better.
He wiggles in Lan Zhan's grasp and adds, If you want us to go for hot pot, you need to let me go so I can get dressed, baby.
Lan Zhan considers this, decides it's correct, and drops both hands down to Wei Ying's ass to give him a firm squeeze before he steps away.
Wei Ying starts by stripping off his pajama pants, revealing the stark, dark bruising on his knees, and Lan Zhan remembers his earlier intention and ducks into the bathroom to get the arnica. Sit, he orders when he steps back out. Wei Ying now down to his underwear and, hilariously, the scarf. Wei Ying blinks at him and drops to the bed without asking why, which really says something about how well it works for Lan Zhan to use his dom voice. He kneels in front of him on the rug and slowly, tenderly, drops a kiss onto one bruised knee before he uncaps the arnica gel and works it into Wei Ying's skin with warm hands. He repeats the process on the other knee and settles back on his heels, taking the time to recap the tube before he looks up to meet Wei Ying's eyes.
You're really something, Wei Ying says, his face doing something complicated and joyous that matches the thrum in Lan Zhan's heart.
He leans forward and cups Lan Zhan's face in his hands, scrutinizing him, and Lan Zhan lets him, and drinks in the touch like he needs it to live.
I really do love you, Wei Ying says, low and serious. You know that, right?
I do, Lan Zhan says. A beat, and then, It is always nice to hear it, though.
Good, Wei Ying says, smiling that secret smile that's just for Lan Zhan. Because I'm not gonna shut up about it. He gives Lanjan a quick kiss and scratches the nape of his neck before he leans back. Go on, he says, waving him away. Stop distracting me and let me get dressed. Lanjan does. Weiying goes with black jeans over a pair of wine-red leggings, his ratty black sweater over a red thermal, and he takes the time to throw on a smoky eye and a hint of red liquid liner. You get to shoot, sweetie, he tells Lanjan as he arranges the scarf around his neck. The world needs to know about this. Lanjan says, unlocking Weiying's phone and opening the camera app. He's fairly certain that by the world, Weiying means the group chat, but he might post it on Twitter as well. He takes at least 20 photos, Weiying playing up his role as the model, and hands the phone over so Weiying can do whatever he needs to do. It definitely involves the group chat, as Lanjan discovers when he checks the time on his phone to find over 50 new notifications. He smiles to himself and tucks the phone away in the white leather purse he started carrying regularly, turning to help Weiying into his leather jacket / down jacket combination, and settling it over his girlfriend's shoulders with heavy, warm hands. Weiying rearranges the scarf at least 5 times before shoving his phone and wallet into his pockets, apparently trying for maximum visibility. And it warms Lanjan through, even as they exit into the chill of the day. They make it to the hot pot restaurant before the rush, as intended, and Weiying doesn't take the scarf off even when he sheds his jacket. He's preening, clearly hoping for something, and he gets it when their server compliments the scarf. Thank you, he beams, reaching across the table to take Lanjan's hand. My boyfriend made it for me. Isn't he talented? Lanjan ducks his head to try and avoid the ensuing praise, because the only opinion he cares about is Weiying's. But he manages to thank the server for her kindness and order tea for himself and a beer for Weiying through his embarrassment. He checks the group chat notifications while they wait for their order, Weiying alternating between typing frantically on his phone and resting his cheek on his hand, the trailing end of the scarf in between like a sandwich. Lanjan glances up from Jiang Yanli's string of heart emojis and effusive praise, and his heart catches in his throat at the simplicity of it. Weiying, wearing the scarf Lanjan made him, warm and safe. Lanjan switches immediately to a different conversation in the app. 2. Ni Huai Song. He needs a hat. And gloves. Yeah, he totally does. Hold on to your butt. About to blow your little mind. The next text is simply a link to a website, and when Lanjan clicks it, it reveals a login page and a simple subheader announcing itself as a free website for knitters, crocheters, and fiber artists. From Ni Huai Song. It's like Facebook for knitters, except better because you don't have to talk to your old high school classmates and find out how much more racist they are now. Also the pattern search. My dude, you strike me as a man who likes organization. Prepare yourself. I appreciate your warning and will report back on my findings. The platters arrive at this point, so Lanjan sets his phone aside and refocuses on Weiying. He loads the spicy side of the pot with the mushrooms and lotus root that Weiying likes most, nudging the plate of thinly sliced beef closer to his side of the table, while Weiying carefully starts slices of fish and tangles of noodles in a strainer for the milder ginger broth that Lanjan prefers. They eat, pushing dipping sauces back and forth across the table, cooking for each other automatically, and afterward they wander the antique mall, debating if any of the Ming vases on display are actually authentic or modern replicas, which naturally leads to Wei Ying expounding at length about the Western concept of replicas and fakes and forgeries being limited and unimaginative. Lanzhan wants to listen to him monologue for the rest of his life, and he also wants to shove him onto a dusty Victorian-era fainting couch and ravish him. They end up buying a pair of peony-batterned tea bowls at a price that makes it a reasonable purchase, regardless of the provenance. And Lanzhan once again wants to hide when the cashier compliments Wei Ying's scarf, and Wei Ying immediately takes the opportunity to brag that his boyfriend made it for him. They make it home, Wei Ying's face flushed with the cold, but his eyes bright. The stress and sadness of the morning melted away like frost under the winter sun, and he wears the scarf all afternoon as they play Mario Kart, at Wei Ying's insistence, and Pode at Lanzhan's. Wei Ying gets antsy toward the end of the second level, and as soon as they save, he's dragging Lanzhan into the bedroom.
"Are you going to wear the scarf while we have sex?"
Lanzhan asks, amused, as Wei Ying strips from the waist down before doing anything else.
"I could," Wei Ying points out, now trying to take off his sweater without dislodging the scarf, probably just out of spite. "Do you want me to, Gaga?"
he asks, half sultry, half smothering his laughter. He manages to get the sweater and undershirt off in one go, leaving his hair mussed and himself naked, but for the now also mussed scarf.
"Do you want to look at all your works at once?"
Lanzhan says, considering, as he steps closer. He runs his hands over the knitted fabric, down to where it drapes over Wei Ying's nipples, and presses against his chest, teasing him a little.
"Well, that is very appealing." He unwinds the scarf, folding as he goes. "If you wear it, we will almost certainly get cum on it, and then it will need to be washed, and you will be unable to wear it until it is dry."
Wei Ying shivers as the trailing end of the scarf drags over his shoulder and falls away. He blinks at Lanzhan, pupils dilated, and makes a valiant effort to look coherent.
"Good point," he says, nodding seriously. "I'm going to wear that thing every day for the next month, at least, so we need to plan our lives around that knowledge. You're so smart, sweetie."
Lanzhan says, smirking a little.
"I am. Get on the bed."
Without waiting to see if Wei Ying obeys, he turns away to set the scarf safely on Wei Ying's dresser. When he turns around, the duvet is pulled back, the towel spread out neatly, and Wei Ying is reclining across it, head propped up on his hand, every line of his body sinuous and seductive. He watches with heated eyes as Lanzhan takes out his earrings and shimmies the wool dress off.
"Ugh," he says, no real complaint behind it. "If I'd known you were gonna wear that today, I would have planned yesterday differently. I still want you to fuck me while you have that on sometime."
"That can be arranged," Lanzhan says evenly, slipping out of his leggings and underwear in one motion.
He crawls onto the bed, movement slow and deliberate, and leans down to kiss Wei Ying's hip.
"Do you like dresses?"
he asks, because he's been A, wondering, and B, idly thinking about Wei Ying and something sleek and slim-fitting and low-cut and red.
"Obviously,"
Wei Ying says, raising a bewildered eyebrow at Lanzhan, who clarifies,
"For you,"
and bites the jut of Wei Ying's hip bone.
"Ooh,"
Wei Ying says, in both understanding and arousal.
Not really."
Lanzhan says, stern and disbelieving, and bites him harder. Wei Ying says, squirming a little and unable to go anywhere since Lanzhan's teeth are still indenting his skin. Okay, okay. God, you demon. Lanjian releases the bite and licks over it soothingly, Wei Ying's cock twitching in his peripheral vision. I've tried skirts, he admits, breathy, trying to curl one leg over Lanjian's shoulder and getting it pinned to the bed for his trouble. They're fun, but like, last week at work, I ended up crawling under the counter to clean a huge coffee spill, so they're not practical. If they're short enough to not get in my way, then I need to wear something under them so I don't flash people. And if I'm already wearing something that covers my legs, it makes more sense just to wear pants, you know? And if they're long enough to not be, like, indecent, then my legs get tangled. This all makes sense, but Wei Ying is far too coherent. Lanjian is aware that asking Wei Ying for detailed explanations is at odds with wanting him incoherent, and dismisses the hypocrisy. Lanjian is allowed to want conflicting things. He mouths at the base of Wei Ying's cock a little, until Wei Ying's breathing speeds up, then nuzzles into his neatly trimmed pubic hair. What about for special occasions? He asks, punctuating his question with a little flick of his tongue, and Wei Ying fights against the pin on his hips fruitlessly. I wouldn't be against it, I guess, he says, voice wavering up at the end, as Lanjian settles a thumb just behind his balls and pushes there. Not too hard, but definitely with enough pressure to be noticeable. Why are you asking, Gaga? Wei Ying smirks and drags his teeth over his lower lip. You want me to doll up for you? You want to see your cute girlfriend in a dress? Lanjian agrees, and adds, bluntly, I want to fuck my cute girlfriend in a dress. Wei Ying splutters and covers his face, as Lanjian expected he would, and he drops a quick kiss to the head of Wei Ying's cock as he pushes up to his hands and knees. Lanjian reorients himself, swings a leg over Wei Ying, and settles straddling his hips. Wei Ying's dick is centered under his ass. Lanjian is facing Wei Ying's feet, and he wastes no time in getting both hands on one of Wei Ying's thighs and shoving his thumbs into the tight muscle. Fuck, Wei Ying says, arching under him and driving his dick even harder against Lanjian's ass. Oh, wow, okay, ow, that feels so good, don't stop. His hands land on Lanjian's hips, the grip firm. Almost a dual massage. Is this what we're doing? Wei Ying asks, sounding breathless. Is this how you want it? You want to ride me and rub my legs at the same time and fuck up my pain response even more? No penetration, Lanjian says, finding another knot and working at it mercilessly. If you want to come like this, you may. If, he says. Wei Ying sniffs, almost managing to sound offended, before he bites off another groan. What kind of course I want to come like this, you monster? One of his hands leaves Lanjian's hip, and after a moment comes a tap. Up! Lanjian lifts his hips, putting a little more pressure into where he has the heels of both hands driving into Wei Ying's left quad. And when Wei Ying catches his breath and bites out, okay, down, down. Lanjian settles back into his perch to find there's been a liberal application of lube. Good. Smart. He rolls his hips, Wei Ying's dick sliding under him frictionlessly, and Wei Ying moans and grabs his ass again. Great idea, he pants, trying his best to fuck up against Lanjian's weight. Not getting very far. You're a genius and I love you. I know, Lanjian says, smugly, and he returns his attention to Wei Ying's legs, specifically the right one, since he's already worked over the left one a bit. Wei Ying babbles the whole time, begging and swearing and demanding that Lanjian never stop, and eventually his voice cracks and he comes hot on Lan Zhan's skin. Lan Zhan does not cease his massage for something as simple as Wei Ying's orgasm, no matter how Wei Ying might insist on it, and he finishes working the tension out of both of Wei Ying's legs before crawling up his girlfriend's body to fuck his mouth. Wei Ying's face is perfect like this, radiant and debauched and beautiful. He always looks intensely grateful to get to suck on Lan Zhan's cock, like there's nothing he'd rather be doing. Lan Zhan knows the feeling, because he feels the same way. Lan Zhan's dick twitches when he gets close, his breath catching. Wei Ying opens his eyes to look up at him, beatific, and tugs one of Lan Zhan's hands away from the side of his head to intertwine their fingers, and Lan Zhan thinks maybe he should be embarrassed that hand-holding makes him come. But here he is, shaking through his release as his boyfriend happily hums and swallows around him. Lan Zhan cleans them up when they've caught their breath, Wei Ying trying to help and mostly just batting at him like a sleepy kitten. They curl up together, Lan Zhan absently noting that they probably should have gone grocery shopping, and Wei Ying snuggles into his chest, tucking the blankets up around them. "Hey," he says, kissing Lan Zhan's collarbone. "Today was really nice." Lan Zhan pets his hair. "Mmm," he murmurs. "Do you feel better?" "Yeah," Wei Ying admits, a little embarrassed. "I really, really do." He smiles against Lan Zhan's skin, the sensation familiar enough to be recognizable even when he can't see it. "That's... if you give me a scarf every time I'm existentially sad, I'm gonna end up with quite a collection." "I'm glad," Lan Zhan says, and then, "I will knit you things other than scarves, too."
"Lan Zhan,"
Wei Ying whines, burrowing closer. He sighs, going boneless, and instead of more protests, he says, "Hey, I'm about to go to sleep again, but we still need to go grocery shopping. Pick me up in 15 minutes? "Of course," Lan Zhan says, fully intending to let Wei Ying sleep for half an hour. He shuts his eyes and drifts into something like meditation, feeling Wei Ying's breaths against his collarbone, his heartbeat under his skin. He wonders how it's possible for one person to feel this happy.